every now and then I like to give you an opportunity to hear what would be in the minds and hearts of possibly those who were in the Scriptures and what they were going through in their day and time. As we enter this Holy Week, it's a series of emotions that are up and down and all around. And it's also a series of perspectives. And so for today, we're going to look at what would it have been like for someone who saw but didn't see, who experienced Jesus but didn't see him as Savior. And so we're going to look at what Caiaphas, the high priest, might have responded to in terms of Jesus arriving in on that first Palm Sunday. Realize Caiaphas, high priest, was an elected office, more of an appointed office, actually. He'd been in office about 15 years before Jesus arrived in Jerusalem. His response is one of those where what we see, this is a Savior. Everything he's done is the Messiah. There's no doubt this is the Anointed One, the Christ. And yet he doesn't see it, because his heart's not leaning that way. And so I'd like to have you step in to what Caiaphas might have done to address or to bring that issue to his fellow religious leaders. You are now the Sanhedrin. And so that is the religious body of 70 elected elders, both rich and poor, Sadducees and Pharisees, who would have decided how the nation of Israel would have been moving, what decisions they would have made, what actions they would have taken. Caiaphas is addressing you all. Okay? I title this simply, this first-person sermon, Caiaphas Addresses the Sanhedrin. Respected members of the Sanhedrin, father-in-law Annas, and leaders of the Jewish faith, I, Caiaphas, your high priest, I've called this emergency meeting of the Sanhedrin because there's a storm brewing on the horizon. A storm which threatens our very Jewish heritage. It threatens us as a nation. And we, as the leaders of the people, the ones whom the Almighty has entrusted to us, the covenant that comes through Abraham, we must act to dispel this storm. We must stop this rising tide of popularity of this uneducated preacher from Nazareth, known as Jesus the Carpenter. Many of you were in the temple this morning when he arrived in Jerusalem. He came riding in on a colt. The disciples of his whipped the crowd up into a frenzy, and the crowd started shouting. These pilgrims started acknowledging him as the Messiah. You heard the crowds. They were yelling, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Son of David. Then he did something that is a threat to our very existence as a faith-based people. He must have been convinced the crowd was behind him, because he went into the temple with whip in hand. He turned over the tables of the money changers. He scattered their coins all over the temples. He chased them out. Then he opened up the crates that were holding the sacrificial animals that we need in order to offer to God. But this wasn't it, O leaders of the community. After the animals had been released, this Jesus shouted at the top of his lungs, "My house is a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves." I can see the surprise in your faces. That's right. He called the temple his house. Wise leaders, this is not the first time that Jesus has done something that we would call heresy. When we first heard of this Jesus of Nazareth, we sent some of our Pharisees to see what he was teaching, to see if it was appropriate. He was in Capernaum, at a house. It was filled to overflowing. He was teaching them. Four men dug down through the roof of that house, and they lowered before Jesus a paralytic, a man who was paralyzed from the waist down. Jesus, looking at the crowd, said this to the man, "Which is it easier to say to the man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your pallet and walk'? But that you know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, I tell you, man, arise, take up your pallet, and go home." And the man did. Now, members of Sanhedrin, quiet yourselves. Stop this murmuring. I understand your shock and dismay. How could any earthly person call themselves the Son of Man? We are the authorities of Scripture. We know who Daniel meant when he said that a Son of Man would be coming. Daniel was referring to the one who is the anointed one of God, the Christ, God's Savior, who would come into our world and rule with power and glory. He would rule all the nations of the earth. The Son of Man would be the Messiah. May he come quickly. Let me quiet some of your fears, though. We've analyzed Jesus' teaching. And for the most part, it's the same message we have taught over these centuries. The one given to us through our greatest of our leaders, Moses. It is the dual love commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's the essence of our law. It's the core of our teaching. Not only has Jesus been teaching this, though, there's a dangerous element to his teaching. You see, this Jesus of Nazareth believes himself to be more than just a teacher. He fancies himself to be the Messiah. This thought pervades much of his teaching, a thought that he's more than an ordinary man. He actually thinks he's the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One. Now quiet, quiet, enough of this disorder. I know what you're thinking. How can a man of flesh and blood be God's anointed one? Let me give you some examples of his teaching about himself. You saw him this morning. His riding into Jerusalem on a colt. There's no doubt he was sending a message. He was proclaiming that prophecy of Zechariah that said our king would ride into the holy city, mounted on a donkey. Earlier in his ministry, people have heard him say he's the good shepherd of Israel. We know that the Lord God's the only shepherd we have in Israel. Jesus also claimed that he existed before Abraham ever was, and that he's attached to himself the holy name of God. His friend Lazarus, who supposedly died, and the body was supposedly sealed in a tomb. Well, after Jesus arrived 4 days later, he had them roll the stone away and then called to Lazarus to come forth. And then Jesus said, the reason why Lazarus came out is because he is the resurrection and the life. Friends, we know only God can bring life back to a dead body. Only God can resurrect a soul. Now here's the clincher. We have sworn testimony from one of his own apostles, his own disciples, this Judas Iscariot, that Jesus actually called himself the Christ. And that the Christ would suffer at the hands of the Jewish leaders so much that the Christ would be killed by the religious leaders. This is preposterous. I mean, we will be able to recognize the Messiah when he comes into this world. Only a fool would miss the signs of the Messiah. We know the signs. The prophet Isaiah told them to us, that the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon him, that he would preach good news to the poor, that he would bind up the brokenhearted. He would proclaim freedom to the captives, release to the prisoners, and that the Messiah would proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, and that the Messiah would bring about God's vengeance into this world. How can this Jesus do that? The man does not even have an army. He can't bring God's vengeance into this world and get rid of the Romans out of our land. How can he achieve these signs? What's that, Nicodemus? What do you mean maybe he's talking about a different kind of freedom? A freedom from pride? Selfishness? Have you become one of his disciples? Have you gone soft? My friends, I've been your high priest for 15 years now. And I've always acted in the best interest for our nation. This Jesus frightens me. He truly believes he is the Messiah. This puts us in a position where we have to choose. We have to choose what we believe and what we believe about him. Is Jesus the Messiah? Nicodemus rightly identified the problem. The people of our own nation thinks he's the Messiah. They're willing to follow him to their death. I fear for our nation. The Roman government will not permit too many more displays as what we had today as he entered Jerusalem. And if the Romans act, we all will be destroyed. So we have to choose what we believe. Is this Jesus the Messiah? That's the choice before every one of us. Ponder your choice carefully. Make utmost care in your decision. Because if we choose wrongly, we will all be destroyed. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many signs Jesus put forward to show that he's more than just a prophet. He's more than just a good man who had good teaching. He's more than just a rabbi who talked about love. He told us so much about himself. He understood that he is the great I am, that he is the resurrection and the life, that he's the good shepherd who will lay down his life for his sheep. He declared to us, Lord God, that he's the bread of life. He's the light to the nations, that he's the one who brings salvation to our souls. Lord God, help us in every place in which we move, all the relationships we have, help us to declare that Jesus is our Savior, that he saved us from our sins, that we need help. We need his help. We need his love so we can live his love in the world. Thank you for our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.